Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Hope everybody is doing good. So this is going to be a very, very interesting episode. So I'm going to jump right into it. So institutional investors may control 40% of the U.S. single-family home rental market by 2030. This is according to MetLife Investment Management. A lot of you have shared with me either in messages or on Instagram that you believe corporations are ruining the housing market. So in this episode, we're going to talk about whether or not that's true. And I think you'll be surprised by some of what I have to share. So definitely make sure that you listen until the end. So it's no secret that corporate landlords, institutional investors, Wall Street, or whatever the headlines call them these days, they've been buying up single family homes like crazy. We're going to talk through some examples of that in the past year in this episode. So Dallas-based Invitation Homes shelled out $98 million to buy 264 homes in Clark County, where a chronic housing shortage has led to a rise in eviction rates. The deal formed as part of a $650 million swap of a portfolio of close to 1,900 single-family rental homes. Invitation Homes now owns 3,500 homes in Clark County, making it the second largest owner of single-family rental homes. And for those who don't know, this particular county is in Nevada, in the Vegas area. I think some of the portfolio is in the actual city of Las Vegas and surrounding areas. So it's interesting. As I looked into Invitation Homes and looked into their website, I couldn't help but notice that and you should check their website out when you have a chance. When you open the website, you see a man playing a guitar with his son inside of a house, presumably. And the headline says, "Live Freer, Lease a House." I mean, this is great marketing. And they are trying to desensitize people from wanting to own a home. They want folks who would otherwise want to buy a home to be comfortable with renting. Now, don't get me wrong. Some folks don't desire to buy and prefer to rent. No problem with that. But if you're listening to this, you are probably one of those folks who wants to eventually buy a home, either to live in or to have some rental properties or both, which I'm totally okay with. And as I looked on their website, they invest in the West, in the South, in the Midwest. And on the West, they have the most homes, it looks like, in Phoenix. They have 325 homes in Phoenix. They also have under 100 homes in Denver, Las Vegas. They probably haven't updated for that new acquisition. Northern California, less than 100. Seattle and Southern California, also less than 100. And when I looked over at the South is when it got really interesting. So in Atlanta, Invitation Homes has 526 homes that are listed, at least. In the Carolinas, 161. Dallas, 163. Houston, 107. Jacksonville, 82. And goodness, Orlando, 243. South Florida, Miami, 203. Tampa, 368. Now, the thing is, these are just the homes for rent. This is not counting the homes that are already leased up, right? So that's something I want you to keep in mind. In the Midwest, they don't really have much of a presence in the Midwest, at least what's available for rent. In the Chicago area, they have 22 homes. In the Minneapolis, they have 26. So interestingly, they seem to have a concentration in the southern part of the U.S. and the West and a little bit in the Midwest. So this arrangement, you know, renting a home, it works for those who need to rent a home for whatever reason on a short-term basis, maybe a few years, or long-term. Like I said, you know, there are some folks who plan to rent long-term. For me, though, I do get concerned when companies like this own a large number of homes in a specific area. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the episode and some interesting findings that I saw on a local level. So now let's talk about Blackstone, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. They've been in the headlines quite a lot over the last 6 months or so. So this reads, private equity giant Blackstone announced Friday it was buying Tricon Residential, a Toronto-based landlord that owns 38,000 homes across the U.S. for $3.5 billion. It's comparable to Blackstone's prior deal from 2021 for Home Partners of America, which owned more than 26,000 properties for $6 billion. The deal announced Friday launches Blackstone into one of the top institutional home buyers in the country, just behind Progress Residential and Invitation Homes. So Blackstone has definitely been ramping up big time. I've covered them before. I've shared a lot of the headlines on my Instagram. But here's what I think is happening. So in the U.S., the median home price has far surpassed the median income in terms of affordability. in many places across the country. And you might be feeling this individually as well. And these companies realize that. So they figure, in my opinion, if someone can't purchase the home they want right now, we'll buy it and offer to rent to them instead. And it's working. And I dug a little bit deeper into that particular article we just mentioned. And Tricon, which is the company Blackstone is acquiring, they own 7,000 units in Atlanta and other major markets, including Charlotte, North Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Dallas, Phoenix, and Houston. And mind you, Invitation Homes has properties in some of these markets as well, which I find even more interesting. And to be honest with you, I do believe some of these companies want you to forget the American dream altogether, right? And to some extent, it's probably working. And I don't know if that is a good thing. I don't think it is a good thing for those who are giving up on that American dream of home ownership. But I know if you are listening to this show, you want more. You desire to own a home, whether it's a home you live in, whether it's rental properties, or whether it's both, which I think is a wonderful goal. And it can happen. So we need to dig a the reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
A little bit deeper, and we need to see if this is actually having an impact on the housing market. So I dug into a study by urban.org, which was done in 2022. And they concluded that as of 2022, large institutional investors own roughly 574 single-family homes. Listen to this next part, though. We have identified an institutional investor as an entity that owns at least 100 single-family homes. To put this in perspective, there are 15.1 million one-unit rental properties nationwide. This would suggest that the total institutional ownership share is 3.8%. The vast majority of owners in the single-family rental market are small and medium investors who own less than 100 properties. There are 46.6 million total rental properties, so one-unit properties make up 32.4% of the total rental stock. There is no universally accepted definition of institutional ownership. So we're getting closer, but I don't think we're quite getting the information we need. I'm looking for the mega investors, the investors that have thousands of units, and I want to know what they own. I'm not so worried about folks who own 100, even 200 units. So pay attention to this next data that I read. I think this is going to get us a little bit closer to the information we're looking for. So single family investors, mega and otherwise, make up 85% of the single family properties held by institutional operators, which is 488,000 out of 574,000 in our sample. The 32 mega investors own almost 446,000 properties, 70% of the total. And the smaller investors and local investors own about 19,000 and 22,000 apiece, 3.4 and 3.9% apiece. These latter groups are likely underestimated, and our results should be regarded as a sample rather than the universe of holders. So this is the information we're looking for. Watch this. The mega operators represent 3% of the 15.1 million total single family properties available for rent nationwide. 3%. So at the time of this report, mega operators are those who own 1,000 or more. They own 3% of all single family homes available for rent. And so I want you to tell me, based on that data, based on the 3%, do you believe it's a big issue impacting the housing market? I'm curious to know what you think. So let's look at this on a local level. I think you'll be a little bit surprised by what I discovered. So Atlanta has 72,000 mega operator owned properties. Phoenix has 33,000. Dallas has 27,000. Charlotte and Houston have 24,000, and Tampa has 23,000. So these six cities combined contain 45% of mega operators' total holdings. So I want to dive a little bit deeper into Charlotte. I found some interesting stuff in Charlotte. So in one neighborhood in East Charlotte, Wall Street-backed investors bought half of the homes that sold in 2021 and 2022. On one block, all but one home that sold during that period sold in cash to an investor who rented it out. Now, if I was someone who was looking to invest in the East Charlotte area in that neighborhood where they basically bought up a whole block, then I'm going to be honest with you. I would feel like the American dream was being stolen from me. I would. And it hits a little bit different when it's on a local level and even more so when it's in a particular neighborhood. So there are some politicians who are trying to prevent these investors from buying more houses. So Democrats in Congress introduced a bill a couple of months ago that to ban hedge funds from buying and owning single family homes in the US. So this bill would basically require hedge funds, and they defined it as corporations, partnerships, or real estate investment trusts that manage pooled funds from investors to sell off all the single family homes they own over a 10-year period and eventually prohibit them from owning any single family homes. During this period, the bill would impose stiff tax penalties with the proceeds reserved for down payment assistance for individuals looking to buy homes from corporate owners. So I would be surprised if anything like this passed. I could see a lot of workarounds that these folks could do, but again, I don't think it's going to pass. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea. I really believe a lot of the efforts needs to go towards incentivizing development in areas where there's room to develop. I think that's the first thing. And, you know, giving credits to developers and making it a little more affordable to build those houses, right? And perhaps that could help to sell them at an affordable rate to an extent. So the question we have, this is the question we came to answer. Are corporations ruining the American dream of home ownership? So my answer is that it depends. Overall, these mega investors who own thousands of homes, they own a small percentage of the available homes, right? 3%. And that is not that many. However, with that being said, it can be problematic when they buy up neighborhoods where the locals may want to buy, where the locals may want to buy either to rent out themselves or to live in. So I get it. I understand the feeling like that dream is being robbed or being taken away from you, especially if you're in areas like Charlotte or the Vegas area, Clark County. I get how on the local level it might feel like that. So I'm curious to know your thoughts. Let me know what you think. Do you think corporations are the problem? Should there be laws preventing them from buying so many properties? Let me know what you think and be sure to leave us a rating and review. I greatly appreciate it. In your review, let me know what you think. I'm curious to know your thoughts. All right. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.